Hey everybody, I'm Scott. It's fundraising time again at antiwar.com. We need your help, and here's how you can help. Stop by antiwar.com/donate or call Angela Keaton, our development director, at 323-512-7095. That's 323-512-7095, or you can shoot her an email over to akeaton@antiwar.com.
Thank you very much for your support.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. I'm joined on the phone by Pete Ayer and Adam. I'm not sure if it's Miller or Mueller. People say it different ways when you spell it like that. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, I appreciate it. And for the record, it's Miller. But I wouldn't take any offense.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, I had a teacher spelled it like that, and it was Miller, but I had an airport spelled like that, and it was Mueller when I was a kid.
They moved it. Trying to keep everybody on their toes, you know, us Germans.
Yeah, oh, okay, there you go. Yeah, a lot of that in Texas. All right, so here we go. You guys are from, what's it called again? Liberty on Tour, right?
That's correct.
And tell us about Liberty on Tour. We'll get to move in a minute here.
Well, Liberty on Tour is Pete Ayer and myself. We did a project last year called Motorhome Diaries, and this year we're doing Liberty on Tour. The difference is we're taking to the streets. We want to embed ourselves with activists. You know, our whole schedule, the logistics, the things are all hashed out. Motorhome Diaries was more flying by the seat of our pants and what's going on. So right now it's 13 cities in 13 weeks, 7,500 miles. And, you know, we want to see what folks are doing out there. We want to put our cameras on the people that are, you know, actively trying to scale back the oppressive government. So,
right on. And so this time you guys are a bit more organized and got some sponsors together, including antiwar.com, I'm told by Angela.
That's right.
So what are the differences between this tour and the last one then, Pete?
Last time around we called it Motorhome Diaries again. We said we were searching for freedom in America, so we pointed our cameras at people we thought were advancing the broad freedom movement. So some activists, some policy scholars, but also we interviewed like a few politicians, Adam Kokesh, Ron Paul. But this time, like Adam said, we want to take it to the streets. And essentially, we both self-describe as voluntarists, so we want to advance the volunteer society. So we go around and we try to engage people. We're doing a lot more outreach to people not yet exposed to the ideas, whether that's in-person stuff or whatever. But we shoot a lot of video, and we have a YouTube channel. We pull that up. We'll hope to do a documentary at the end. But like we're saying, we're just going around trying to advance this volunteer society. We're trying to be more experimental this time. We have meetups in each city. We're really dependent on people for tips and leads and contacts in each city. We're just two guys in an RV, so we're if you or any of your listeners have any suggestions for us, there's a contact form on our website. They can let us know what they think we should check out.
Yeah, I'd just like to add too that with, you know, with the freedom and stuff, that we have to mix it up. It doesn't have to be all sit down interviews. You know, we're out there in the street. We got this idea going with these Uncle Sam's videos and some other ones that we just shot yesterday that'll be really funny and interject the message of complete liberty to folks.
So which one of you is the expert in MOVE?
That's Pete.
All right, so I think probably most people in the audience, if they've ever heard of it, they really still don't know anything about it. I saw a great little video you guys put together explaining the history of this story and what happened there. I've always called it, I guess I learned about it after Waco, and it was, don't you know there was a Waco massacre in Philadelphia just a few years back, you know, right around the time of Waco is when I first learned to move. But it's a bit of a different story, so why don't you go ahead and break it down for us. Philadelphia, the city that bombed itself, was the title of your videos that I saw. And by the way, everybody, you can find that on my YouTube page.
Yeah, it's a pretty ridiculous story.
Oh, my actually, Facebook page, I meant to say, sorry.
Yeah, I appreciate you plugging it, but it's a pretty ridiculous story. I actually heard about it. I went to school for law enforcement, so I heard about it, like how heavy-handed some police departments had been. And when we rolled into Philly, you know, I think one thing that's good to do is showcase the violence that the system uses and then their lack of accountability. So, you talked about Waco last year. We did a story on Waco and Ruby Ridge. Indianapolis Baptist Temple that the feds went after. But in Philadelphia, what happened, there's a group of people that got together around an individual who took the surname Africa. His first name was John. So John Africa was like this charismatic leader. He was functional illiterate, they said, but like still he was somebody who just wanted to create a community for some people that had similar ideas. I guess you and I could call them like anarcho-primitivists. They kind of shunned technology, but they valued human life, animal life, going back to nature type stuff. They also spoke out against police brutality, which was pretty prevalent at that time. The mayor of Philadelphia, Mayor Rizzo, this was all in the early 70s they formed, and then towards the later 70s, Mayor Rizzo, who had been a previous police commissioner, and he prided himself on, you know, essentially using heavy-handed tactics to try to keep the crime rate down and just intimidate, you know, gang versus individuals, I should say. But so these folks were speaking out against police brutality. It drew the attention of the state. They initially, a judge issued a warrant for the arrest of some folks. MOVE spoke out. Mayor Rizzo implemented essentially a starvation blockade of their property. They owned a three-story Victorian house in the West Philadelphia, near where Drexel is today. And so there's a lot of thousands of people in Philly protested this blockade. They blocked they shut off their water. They blocked food from going in and out. They checked people going in and out. It was just very oppressive. So there was this big rally in favor of MOVE. And it kind of made the political climate such that the government said, all right, let's make a deal. We'll release all the people in our captivity now from jail. We'll drop all the charges we have against you guys. And you guys, if you allow us to search your residence. And so they did that, and MOVE agreed. And then when they after they searched the residence, they really didn't find anything. So then MOVE said that the city had agreed after the search that they would provide them a new property within 90 days, while the city said that MOVE had told them that they would find a new property on their own. So it was just a way, I think, probably the city of Philadelphia was a little pissed that they had put all these resources into it, didn't really get the return on their, you know, investment they thought. They got kind of thrown to the bus. So they went in there, and they issued more arrest warrants, sight on scene, you know, for all MOVE members. MOVE didn't leave the property, and you know, they were asked by reporters. The media up there was very pro, you know, the city of Philadelphia, and was painting MOVE to be, you know, this like terrible organization or whatever that was holding, you know, people, was neglecting children and doing all these things. But so the media asked MOVE. They said, hey, why don't you guys just MOVE? And they said, this is where we want to live. Why don't you ask the city government why they don't MOVE? Why don't they don't leave us alone? And, you know, they even had the support of the Amish up in Lancaster County, offered them a place up there. But eventually it turned...
You know what? Hold it right there, because yeah. I want to let you expand just on that one little point and get back to the story. But if the Amish were willing to accept these people, then the Amish weren't scared of them. Right.
I
mean, that means something, that they were not seen by the Amish as being a criminal, dangerous element to them.
Right. I'm sorry, I misspoke. It was the Quakers up there who were, you know.
Well, still, same difference.
The group that advocates peace and voluntary interaction. So yeah, you're correct. You're right on when you say that.
It's sort of like with Waco, where they go, oh, this guy was about to assemble his army and march on downtown Waco and take it over or something. Well, that's funny, because he shot guns with the sheriff's department.
Yeah,
and the sheriff's department didn't think of him as an evil criminal conspiracy preparing to march on downtown Waco. So it makes the narrative incongruent with the facts a little bit. I like to focus on things like that.
Definitely. So eventually the city, when MOVE didn't leave the property, at their command, they surrounded it. They had a lot of officers on the ground and riot gear. They had fire department came out. They started blasting water into the basement. They were there ended up being a shootout. First, the people in the MOVE house, some of the police officers on the scene that day, some of the media there, and eyewitnesses said that the first shot came from behind the police line. So some people associated with MOVE believe, you know, maybe there was some,
all right, well, I'm sorry, we're going to have to hold it right there. Let's get back at gunshots is where we're leaving off here. We'll be back with Pete Eyre and Adam Miller from Liberty on Tour right after this.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. My head really hurts. If I don't find a way out of here, I'm gonna go to the bus. I'm crazy and I'm...
All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and I'm talking with Pete Ayer and Adam Miller from LibertyOnTour.com. There are a couple of anarchists driving around in an RV trying to teach people about why they ought to be free instead of the slaves of the cops or the dead, burning bodies of the cops, like in this case. May 13th, 1985, 11 people burned alive. Just Google up Philadelphia, the city that bombed itself, if you want to watch the great video that they put together explaining this. And now, when we're going out to the story here, Pete, I think we're at the part where there's some black radicals in a house. The police have laid siege to them. The police finally had access to the house. They searched it, found nothing, but then they were mad since they had all their weapons around. And I think at some point here, people started shooting each other. You were saying it was in dispute who fired first or what, so I'd like to know the particulars of that. And then hopefully we can get to the part where they go to the FBI and say, hey, can we borrow a bomb from you guys? I don't know how they're going to give it back later, but and the FBI said, sure, here.
Right, yeah. So this was in the first stop we were talking about was in the late 70s, it was 1978 that it went down. And again, they were holed up in the house. There was a police line outside. There was a shot fired. You know, it's, the state says it was the move, folks, move, and some eyewitnesses and some media says it was from the police line. But there was an exchange of firefight. A police officer was killed. Eventually, the move folks came out. A number of them were arrested, and nine of them were later convicted of conspiracy and third-degree murder. They were tried as a group, not as individuals, and they're still in prison today. They were given sentences between 30 and 100 years, and it's really ridiculous. The judge who oversaw the case a couple days after the conclusion of it was on a talk show in Philly, and he was asked point-blank who was the person who killed the police officer, and he said, you know, he said, I don't know. And so that's pretty damning evidence that even these state actors that purport to uphold justice, you know, are doing anything but. So anyway, so that property, just like Waco, just like happened in Waco, the state moved in right away, destroyed the building, they destroyed the evidence, so they weren't able to do conclusive, you know, evidence findings for the trial. The move folks later relocated to a few miles west in West Philly again, and they worked for the release of their family in prison. And then in 83, they broke their radio silence, their media blackout on by essentially just taking getting their PAs, getting back outside and talking about the abuses that they suffered at the hands of the state. That drew some complaints from the neighbors because they were on it all overnight. You know, it was Christmas Day. But even so, it still did not at all justify what happened to them. What happened to them, the city, as you said, involved the FBI. The move folks are saying, why are these issues, they're composting in their yard and things like that. Why does this draw the attention of the FBI? You know, obviously these guys had the state had an incentive, Philadelphia had an incentive to try to quiet these people up because they were speaking out against the tyranny that that the Philadelphia cops were dishing out. But eventually they showed up, surrounded the house, Philly cops showed up. And again, all this, if you go to libertyontour.com/move, we have some more details about this and links in the video. But the cops showed up. They started by lobbing tear gas into the house. They eventually shot over 10,000 rounds into this row house, where it was known that there were children in there. The mayor declared everybody an enemy combatant, even the children. And
What was the term they made up? Because it couldn't have been that. Is that what they said? They're enemy combatants?
Yeah. As far as I know, that's what they were labeled as. The order was given to secure the building essentially. And, like I was saying, they fired over 10,000 rounds in there. You know, they had an M60 machine gun out there.
Yeah, that's kind of a funny part of this, right, is that the locals can go to the FBI and go, hey, we need an M60 and a bomb. And the FBI has an M60 and a bomb. I mean, why does the FBI have this stuff if the local cops don't? They're not soldiers, are they?
Yep. And they have a pretty terrible track record. So I don't know why folks, you know, believe that these people with badges have a right to own this stuff, but nobody else. But anyway, so there was a firefight. The cops, as I was saying, were lobbing tear gas in there. They were using the water cannons to poke holes in the building. Eventually, the people in the house went to the basement to kind of escape that. Again, they started trying to flood the basement. Eventually, they got approval to drop a 4-pound bomb, a C4, on top of the house, even though it was known that there was a gas can on the top of the residence. So they went by in a helicopter, dropped a bomb on this residence in the middle of a Philadelphia neighborhood. It caught fire. The police commissioner said, "Hey, let's let this fire burn," and the fire commissioner agreed. So they let this thing burn for 45 minutes before they even turned on the water to try to put it out. By that time, it had caught a number of other residents in the area on fire. When it was all said and done, there were 250 homeless people. Over 60 residences burned to the ground, and there were 11 dead people in the move house, including 5 children. So it was ridiculous. There were 2 survivors, Ramona Africa and her son, and she was later put in prison for 7 years for a riot. And it's just ridiculous. So when she got out, her and 2 of the other relatives of people who had been killed in the household sued the city in federal court, and they won, and they were awarded $1.5 million. And all the other people in the neighborhood whose houses were burned, the government initially went in there, and just like we saw after Katrina, the government went in there, rebuilt houses, but they were, you know, shoddy construction, and they kept having to dump millions of dollars into upkeep. Eventually, they just said, we can't do this anymore, so they bought everybody out. They paid about 2/3 of the families got about $150,000 each, and then the remaining third that held out, they got a little bit more. But again, there's no accountability for this. The people who shot the guns, the people who dropped the bombs, the people who issued the orders, no one was ever held responsible.
Well, and this is exactly the heart of the point. You know, this is the entire thing. No accountability. And that's really what it means to have a monopoly. That's why we reject monopolies, is because a monopoly means no accountability. There's a monopoly on bananas, they'll all be rotten and cost a lot. And because there's competition, you can get a decent banana to eat for your potassium or whatever. And it's the same thing with the cops. No accountability. And geez, you know, I really didn't know very much about the story. I've learned a lot here, and I'm sorry that we're right up here gaining on the time wall, but I mean, to hear you tell this story, Pete, it sounds like it just like the Waco massacre. I mean, even to the point of going in and putting a bomb on the roof. And you know, at Waco, of course, they told the people, you're not allowed to come out. If you do come out, we'll shoot a flashbang grenade at you. Everybody's forced to stay inside, destroy all the exits and staircases and everything. And then they went in there, at least in the case of Waco, they hired it out to the Delta Force to actually bomb the people to death. But anyway, they drove the tanks. The FBI agents drove the tanks there. So, I mean, this is just amazing. Again, I'm sorry, I'm going on. It's libertyontour.com. Pete Ayer and Adam Miller, thank you both so much for your time. I'm sorry, Adam, you didn't get a chance to say too much. We'll be back.